qualified to be a driver under the terms of those contracts.
It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
It's true, I wear a collar and a tie. I make the window all the while. They say I do it. Ain't nobody caught me. You sure got to prove it on me.
Take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side.
Chocolate covered rainbows. Black boys get on down, down.
Every G&L has a New York Tales tale. The Stonewall was everyone.
Let them take you and make you invisible.
Good evening and welcome to Fresh Fruit, the longest running weekly queer radio show in the country, every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. I'm your host, Dixie Treichel, and tonight on Fresh Fruit, my guests are co-host Ellie Zimmerman, She/They, KFAI's volunteer coordinator, and special guests, Gully Boys, a grunge power pop four-piece from Minneapolis. They are Kathy Callahan, she, her, lead vocals, rhythm guitar. Nadi McGill, they, them, drums, vocals. Natalie Clemen, she, her, bass guitar, vocals. And Mariah Mercedes, they, them, lead guitar, vocals. Their debut self-titled album, Gully Boys, is coming out Friday, October 3rd. They're touring the U.S. in October and headlining the official album release of Gully Boys on Saturday, December 13th, at the Varsity Theater in Minneapolis. It's KFAI's Fall Membership Drive. Listen to stay connected and feel connected. Support Fresh Fruit, highlighting voices and issues from the complete fruit salad. Queer, two-spirit, LGBTQIA+++, ad infinitum. Donate at KFAI.org. All right, we're on air. And hey, Ellie, how's it going?
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Welcome, Gully Boys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Ellie, talk a little bit about being the volunteer coordinator at KFAI.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got our spring or fall pledge drive actually going on starting yesterday. And there are so many ways to pitch into KFAI. Your dollars are certainly one of those ways, but your time is another. Pretty much everybody that's here at KFAI is a volunteer. Dixie's one of them. There's about 200 people that make this little old radio station go around. So if donating your money isn't enough, you can donate your time. Come on in to KFAI. There's plenty for everyone to do around here. And you can call me. I'm the guy to talk to, Ellie at KFAI.org.
All right. Let's bring on the Gully Boys. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, I'm curious. So Self-Titled is your first full-length album after nearly a decade in the music industry. And I would love to know, what did it take to get to this point?
A lot.
A lot of patience and determination, really. But honestly, most of it is just the love to do it.
It took us learning how to play our instruments. When we started, we were very novice, and we were just hanging out, having fun, cool guy mode. and we wrote a lot of songs that we were proud of, but a lot of those were written by accident and not intentionally. And as we, like, grew up and went through our 20s together, we just were able to, we had the skill set to match the ideas that we had finally. And we also added Mariah, who actually is excellent. Actually is excellent.
As it turns out.
That really just also helped us take our sound to, like, the beyond. And, yeah, that made Gully Boys.
So when you're writing songs then, how do you go about it? Is it lyrics first, music first? Does somebody have an idea pop into their head, or what goes, how do you do that?
It's different every time. We don't have, like, a set process per se. I think somebody will bring something, a piece of something, whether it's a guitar riff or melody. We start with a little piece of things usually, and then kind of flesh it out together and build off of that one piece.
One of the special things we did for this album is we came up against a block in the songs that we wanted to write and gaps that we had, and so we mapped out our songs and realized where those gaps were, and we gave ourselves, like, a challenge of, like, write a song that fills this quadrant of this map, and we broke up into groups of two, and two of those songs made it on the album. And we had no prompt, 6 hours show and tell at the end.
It was like a game show.
Yeah,
it's like separated into different studios.
Didn't talk all day.
Didn't talk. Just, like, hyper fixate on getting this song done as fast as possible, and then at the end of the day, kind of show and tell for each other.
And our producer was like the host, going back and forth, giving us, like, they're really working on something good down there. Right. I got up here.
Would you tell us which is which?
The songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't come out yet. But Talk to Me Later, which is, like, the third song in the album.
Yeah.
And Murderapolis. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I know. I saw that track title and I was like, this one's gonna be good.
That's the Kathy Naughty special, yeah. Murderapolis.
Oh my god, you can tell the personalities too, the combinations.
Yeah, it's so loud.
Like, oh my god, you can tell that Mariah and Natalie worked on this one and Kathy and Naughty worked on this one.
It's very the grunge pop of the day.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, and this map that Naughty is talking about is literally, like, visually a graph.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know how else to describe the way that they described it, but it was very, like, mathematical.
Yeah, we had a BPM on one axis and heavy to light.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, it was heavy, light, and BPM. And so there was, like, sludge, pop, dreamy, and punk. Or it was sludge, dreamy, punk, and whatever. Heavy, I think it was.
I don't remember.
And we wanted a good mix of everything. Thing sort of, or, like, at least lean into something and make sure that it wasn't just a bunch of
the same song over
random.
And over.
Yes, yeah, yep.
I feel like that was the moment where I was like, dang, we're not writing songs by accident anymore. We're intentionally writing songs to scratch the itch. And we wrote a lot of bad songs.
Just too. With us, we definitely did. But we write. We all like songwriting and we all have such different influences and tastes that our process can kind of be all over the place. And I think people have had a hard time describing our genre before just because of that fact. And we like a lot of the stuff we write, so we don't want to just, like, I don't know, everything that feels good, we want to include it. But then it was kind of like, okay, we have this super sludgy heavy thing over here, and then we have this super poppy thing over here, so, like, how do we bridge the gap between these two? And so the graph that we're talking about was kind of like a prompt for how to get there and how to make things speak to each other.
We should frame that.
We should.
Graphic notation has been around for a while. If you studied music, you know how that is. So I think that's a brilliant idea to use on your songwriting skills, and I think it really does help create the variety that you need instead of doing like whatever, the same thing over and over, you know, A-A-B-A. And, you know, the songs of yours that I listen to, I love that. There's definitely that back and forth, up and down, whatever you were saying, like, you know, thick and thin kind of stuff. And I'm curious as to how you decided to bring in the fuzz element into the music. How does that fit into your feelings of what you're doing?
I think it was mostly bare bones.
You're a DIY baby.
Yeah.
We had one like pedal for a long time.
I have a guitar. I know some chords.
That's really what it was. And we played, and we played out of a lot of like PAs that didn't work.
Oh yeah, so like playing in basements, a lot of the way I sing comes from just me needing to be louder than the drums in a basement.
Yeah, and then the guitar sound just became because that's what it made. That's what we had, and it worked.
The mix on your new album is great. You know, I've heard some of the cuts that are on Bandcamp, and I love it. It's really nice. And one of the things, you know, like what Nadia was saying about drums, is so many times they've got the snare in the center, and it's so loud it covers up the vocals. And this is done really nice. It's really, it's really well done.
Thank you.
So everybody, get out there and get the new album from Gully Boys. Yeah. Is it still available? I know it was sold out, or what's going on?
Our variant sold out, but you can go to our label, Smart Punk. There's like a two or three more variants that are available, but not for long.
Get it while it's hot.
What or who are you channeling for this new album? Musically or otherwise?
We made so many playlists. We actually made like four or five different playlists for each category that we were like wanting to film. So it was like mannequin P-word. like Turnstile.
Yeah. Foo Fighters came up a lot. Yeah.
Deftones.
Deftones.
I don't know, but then we always just have like
Gwen Stefani.
We always have No Doubt in.
Yeah, always.
And it's there's a lot of like dad rock on my part too.
Kathy brings the Michael Jackson wherever she goes.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I can't help it. He's inside of me.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Not Michael Jackson, the spirit of in this studio.
It's spooky time, the veil is thin.
Yeah.
I've never seen Michael Jackson and me in the same room.
Okay, so that picture of you where you're sitting at the table and it's got the reserved sign, is that Elvis on the wall? In the heart.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Whoa, mama.
I was like, where did that go from?
Get me out of here.
That wasn't intentional, but
he was just there.
He was, yeah. He was there first.
We got a lot of spirits following us around, obviously.
Oh, my God.
A gentle guiding hand.
That was funny.
So you've said online that you take representation very seriously, and I would love to hear you all talk a little bit about that, what it means to you.
Okay, I'll talk. I think I didn't grow up with a lot of bands that had people who looked like us in it. There was maybe one, you got like one girl and she played the bass. Or you had like singer, songwriter, guitar player. And so I never thought that, I thought that my role in the music community for a long time was just like to be fangirl. That is where I fit in. And it wasn't until I met these guys that I realized that like I like had a lot to say. And I really, that is important to me in the way that we go about like creating community and creating spaces, like letting people know that you don't actually need to wait for permission, or if you like want to create art, you should be able to. And we actually really need to hear the stories of marginalized people, of queer people of color, of trans people, through song. And that's just like we can't miss those stories because of imposter syndrome and fear. And we just need to be loud. And so that's what I want to do with Gully Boys, personally.
And we kind of just naturally became that. We didn't, like, we weren't like, oh, we need to be this representative of who we are or whatever. It just kind of, like, became like, oh, we can do this, so you can do this. Why can't we all just, like, do it together and support each other without it being, I don't know, some like story that you're trying to tell. It's really just like yeah, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. You can do it too.
Are you any of you familiar with, like, in the 90s there was the homecore movement? Mm-mm. Which was queer punk and grunge stuff, and then there was all the women queer punk bands, the
Babes in Toyland and
Team Dresh, Tribe yeah. 8, all that mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. And then,
so it sounds like you're like, you know, following the next level here, mm-hmm. keeping it going. And do you play a lot of queer venues? What's going on in the queer punk scene, queer grunge scene? What's going on?
I actually work at a queer venue called Pillar Forum, and it's a coffee shop venue, and it's all ages. And I feel like there's a lot of representation there, like pretty much every night, every weeknight, every weekend. And the people that I meet who come through and like travel from city to city, it's just awesome to see different types of people and people who are just like me. But yeah, I mean, that's just my personal involvement there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like any specific venues. I think that's one of the things that I think feels like missing in the space is there's not a lot of like loudly queer owned venues. I mean, there's just like not a lot of loudly queer spaces. There's a lot of gay man spaces, but there's not a lot of loudly queer spaces. Mm-hmm. And so those two can get conflated, and then we end up in places where we're getting yes mama'd and Queen Slay boots the house down, and I don't want that.
And we love girls.
We love girls.
You're all girls.
Girl band. I love girl bands.
But yeah, I think one of the things that's cool, though, is that there's a lot of queer people making queer nights in any spaces that they go to. Yes. And so venues become trans. They become this, like, queer paradise for a few hours. And that feels really special. And it would be awesome if we had more of a brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm. Are you coming across anything when you're on tour? Not too much.
DIY spaces.
Yeah, I was going to say. Really cool DIY spaces.
I think that's pretty much
they're,
what
yeah,
it is.
And they're usually like a new space of some
the only
sort.
Thing I can think of is the we played like a lesbian bar in Chicago. I don't know if it's even there anymore.
Something Golden Dagger.
Yeah.
Golden Dagger. It did get bought out and...
Nice.
They kicked all the gays out.
Okay, so no.
And that was a perfect venue.
Yeah, it's always queer night at the Gully Boys show.
Exactly.
Literally.
There was a tweet that really made me laugh that said, "Hi, I wonder if anyone's gay here at the Gully Boys show." I was like, yeah, that's right. Meet your wife.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, you literally did. Before they were even in the band.
Yeah, regale us with that story.
Yeah, you know, I was a fan of Gully Boys back in 2018, and I was like, I want to go see my friend Naughty here at the Gully Boys show. And then I met someone they went to high school with, shout out Sierra, the love of my life. We met and we had our first kiss at the Gully Boys show at Mortimer's on March 28th, 2018. I remember the exact date. Yeah.
And been here ever since?
Full circle of joining the band a few years later. 3 years later?
Oh, cheers. That's great. I love that.
Thanks.
All right. We are going to take a quick break here. Here are a couple of messages from our sponsors. And don't forget that the pledge lines are open. You can call 612-375-9030 until 8 o'clock, or you can head to kfai.org/donate and show Fresh Fruit some love. We'll be
support
right back.
Support queer radio. Ooh.
Wake support up, for KFAI sunshine, comes from the Red Sea, girl, presenting Space Cadets, Friday, September 26th. Space Cadets is a showcase cabaret of DJs and musicians, featuring live performances from Fanaka Nation, 2FU1, Jada Brown, and Isabella Lopez. Plus, DJs Chico Chi and Talia Knight will be spinning tunes all through the night. The Red Sea is located at 320 Cedar Avenue South in the Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis.
Explore connections in skin, living armor, evolving identity at the Science Museum of Minnesota. Then step back 65 million years with T-Rex on the Omni Theater's giant screen. Details at smm.org.
Thank you.
We are back with Gully Boys here on KFAI's Fresh Fruit, 90.3 FM, coming to you live from Minneapolis at the top of the Bailey Building here on the West Bank. It's KFAI's Fall Pledge Drive, if you haven't heard, and we've got something really special for you, not just the Gully Boys here in studio, but if you donate during this hour any amount from $1 on up, we will enter you in a raffle to win a Gully Boys new record, self-titled, on vinyl. So,
ooh.
Yeah, that's a pretty special thing.
All right.
Before the end of the hour, you can call 612-375-9030, or you can go to kfai.org/donate, and we'll get you that record if you are the lucky winner. So, Gully Boys, you're on tour soon.
Yeah.
What you got on deck?
Yes, we're touring with our friends Dury in October. It's going to be awesome. I know you're pulling up the dates. Nice.
Yeah, three and a half. Three
Who's
and half,
Dury? Tell us who Dury is.
Yeah.
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 I don't know.
Some little background lore. I used to play in the front guy. His name is Austin Dury. He had a little band called Mara in the Mainsail back in the day.
Okay.
And my first big kid tour when I was 20 years old was touring with his band, playing keys of all things. I can play keys. So he's awesome. He's like a big brother to me and to a lot of people, I feel
He gave us our in-ear system.
Dory's the homies.
They just released an album also called This Movie Sucks. That's what they're touring.
Yeah.
And the tour, we leave October 7th and we get home October 29th.
Yeah, so. You guys have had kind of an aggressive tour schedule. You were out in June, you were out a little before that. How have you had time to do everything for the new album in between all of that?
We don't.
The album's been in the works for like 2 years, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like we've never not been busy. So we make it work. We've taken months off here and there to work on it. I think last November, I think we
did a little fall retreat last year.
Yeah, we did. We make time. We also can't function without a deadline that's imposed by somebody else. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like we've trained ourselves to only work under pressure. So
that's an ADHD thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only way I know how to work.
Also, I just feel like we have literally the only time we had a break was when the pandemic forced us to. But even prior to the pandemic, we played like 60 shows a year, something.
Wow. Are you tired?
Yeah.
Or you're just getting away. No, the answer is we're just getting started.
Yeah. I'm gonna get through it with bags under my eyes.
And experience.
Yeah.
So when you're working all that time, do you ever get grumpy at each other and want to rip your face off?
We're actually kind of really awesome. Good at knowing when to stop, though. Like,
yeah.
I feel like some people I've been around where I'm like, oh my God, you never stop talking. Yeah. And we don't have that problem really in the van. There is like sometimes, but like usually when someone puts their headphones on and like has their moment, they are left alone. And that's what I think is like a big saving.
Yeah, it's the universal like, do not talk to me, please.
Yeah, you cannot see me.
I think like I've always said that like the last like 25% of tour, no matter how long the tour is, I'll be good for like 75%. And I feel like we hit a point where we all kind of pass around having a really bad day and like being really grumpy, but we take turns and we're good at
reading each other. I think, which is something you can so easily take for granted, because then we'll be around other people and it'll be like, wow,
they do not like each other.
Yeah.
I did not realize that people were in bands with people they were not best friends with. I thought that was the standard. I mean, I'm fortunate because the only band I've ever been in has been with my best friends. What's the point?
Yeah, why would you do that? Why would you suffer like that? We are very like goofy and we have a lot of humor and we play cards and stuff together. So
it's gonna be awesome.
We keep our spirits up like 95% of the time, I would say. So like even if one of us is having a bad time, we're like, this guy over here, you know?
I also think it helps that like, I feel like we all know our roles pretty well. And there is no one person who is extremely punctual, which is both a blessing and a curse. Yeah. But if there was, and as late as we always are, I'm sure that would be such an intense stressor. Yeah. But we are all just like, man, we'll get there when we get there. There's moments where I'm like, we're gonna be late, and then I start freaking out, but I do nothing beforehand to prevent that from happening.
Have you ever really held up a show like that?
Oh.
Have we?
We've made it work. We've gotten very close to the wire. I was actually just reminiscing on this today because I was going through and I was archiving stuff. And do you remember when we played at Mission Creek Festival in Iowa and then drove to Eau Claire to play another show in the same day?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
And I got a ticket. because it was like one of those like trap cities where they're like you're like driving and it's like 70 miles per hour and then there's like one half mile where it's 30 miles per hour and they got me. And that was one where we actually did have to like hold things up a bit and I was nervous that we weren't gonna play, but I don't think it's ever gotten that serious prior after that. We've gotten close.
Yeah.
Have you ever
I had to cancel a show in Boise. Because our window exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of control.
It's always something super tragic.
It wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
We would have made it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we canceled another show after I crashed the van in Chicago, and now I'm not allowed to drive anymore.
That was our fault.
By the state or by the band?
By the band.
Okay.
Mind you, she crashed
I'm in jail.
She crashed the she crashed the van, and her destination was 2 blocks away from where we were going.
And I was trying to be a good boy and fill up the tires.
And we knew. We were like, where's Kathy?
I know. Kathy asked to drive the van, and me and Nat looked at each other. And we were like, we have to let her do this. This is good. And then you called Nat.
You called.
Like,
we saw the phone ring, and like, we were like,
car accident.
No. It was such a dumb mistake, too. I was at the intersection, and I was like, which one's the gas and which one's the brake?
It happened.
And she totaled the other car, mind you. Our car was fine because we had like a 1996 Ford. So that's when they were made out of actual metal. And unfortunately, she ran into a car that was like a Mario Kart car. And she had...
She had just
gotten it fixed because it was almost total. She had got into a car accident and you ended that car's life.
I'm sorry. If you can hear this, I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
So you're traveling in a van. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're in the market for one now if you happen to have a 15-passenger van with less than 100,000 miles on it.
Is that a super big one?
Email us at gullyboysvan@gmail.com.
Time to get your own bus.
I know.
We're working on it.
That'd be cool.
Wow, we're actually actively working on a mini bus for us.
Nice.
I wish this would reach Chicago because there's this car, there's this van that we really, really want that I've messaged him twice now. It's this guy had this like, was it a 15 passenger?
No, I think it
was 15 passenger because it is a Ford Econoline, but that he ripped everything out of.
It's a Chevy.
It's a Chevy.
It's a Chevy, and it's got like a little table in it. It's kind of like RV adjacent.
Yeah. Some guy built it out for his tailgating for the Bears games.
Well, you never know who's listening on KFA.
I know. So that's why I'm speaking this into the world. It's decked out with a sound system and a TV, and it only has 85,000 miles on it, and it was garage kept. Hey, if you're listening to this, don't go steal my van. This is the van that I manifested.
You better
you
be checking
it.
Your like misconnections on whatever site you use.
I want it so bad.
So in between all the touring and the writing and all of this, you have a whole other life, part of which is to be really politically active in the Twin Cities. I would love to hear about your work with Twin Cities United Performers and beyond.
Yeah. Started Twin Cities United Performers 2 years ago now, I think it was.
Whoa.
Wow.
And it started as a solidarity campaign alongside the First Avenue workers' decision to unionize. And I was asked as like a contractor to like chat up my friends and do some underground organizing led by the brilliant leadership of the First Avenue workers to stand in solidarity with them because we have a very symbiotic relationship. We can't play shows without workers, and workers wouldn't have jobs without shows. And so we really needed each other. And through that organizing, it became very clear that a lot of the pain points that happen in venues are shared amongst workers and performers, and that's how Twin Cities United Performers started. We have the goal of making Minnesota the best place in the world to be a performer, and I do believe it's very possible. There is enough resources where everyone only has to work one job, and that job can be performance, because it is a lot of labor, as you've heard us talk about so far, to make your favorite songs and to create the soundtracks of your life. That requires a lot of time and so many hours of learning and performing and practicing, and that all deserves to be compensated. And so we're working on a campaign right now that is based around advancing shows. Right now there's not a standard of communication amongst venues and performers. Unfortunately, it'd be like showing up to work and you don't know if you're going to get paid or how much you're going to get paid or what time you're even supposed to be at work or, how long you're working. That wouldn't fly in any other job, but unfortunately that is kind of like the standard for performances around town until you reach a certain level, and I don't believe that should be the case. And so we are working really hard to organize performers to let people know that you can advance your own shows and you can demand that information prior to going into your work. And you should do it because you are entitled to that, and you are actually more powerful than people want you to believe. And so, yeah, that's what we're working on right now. We have lots of visions of how we can make Minnesota the best place in the world to be a performer through... Yeah, I don't want to say too much because I'm still in the... I just read so many pages of research the other day, which feels exciting, and I feel really optimistic about what the future holds. But, yeah, if you're a performer and you want to get involved, you can follow us at Teacup, at TeacupMN. You can email me at our Twin Cities United... I think it's TeacupMinnesota at gmail.com. And we'd love to talk to you and get you... in a position. Everyone has a role in the revolution, and you just got to find yours. And, yeah.
Yeah, before we move on from that, I just want to backtrack to that point about demanding what's yours, and I would like to know who you're going after. Are you talking to the venue managers? Are you chasing legislative priorities? Like, what's the theater of battle here?
Yeah, for the advance campaign right now, it's mostly trying to work with the venues to get the communication that we deserve, instead of waiting for a venue to send an advance, you know, 2 days before. That's not really excellent communication. We deserve excellent communication. If you, unfortunately, most musicians do not have this as their main source of income. So if I got to load in at 4 p.m., I got to let my other job know well in advance, and I can't have that information 2 days before. So right now it's trying to work not against the venues, but work with the venues so that we can all succeed. And if performers are advancing their shows, it's actually, I feel like that's actually better for bookers, because they're also dealing with so much, so that we're all like taking accountability and taking responsibility for the work that it takes to have an awesome show. And that's usually felt in terms of like other campaigns that we're working on. There's like, yeah, we have dreams of going after legislative going after money that would require a legislative fight, going after Spotify, going after all the guys who extract the money from our labor.
So this isn't just a Minnesota thing. This is nationwide. Is it international?
Teacup is specific to Minneapolis. There's a nationwide movement right now. If you're interested, they're called UMA, United Musicians and Allied Workers. They do a lot of federal works right now. They have the Living Wage for Musicians Act, which is a bill that would require streaming services to pay musicians one penny per stream versus the 0.0038% that we get right now. And that bill was just actually reintroduced by Rashida Tlaib. So if you're that I think would be a game changer to everyone's streams. People don't buy physical media anymore, unfortunately. And it would be a way that would actually like fund the art. Making art is very expensive. So that's like the federal, like the national org that's doing this work. But it also takes pockets of like communities across the country to also be doing that work.
Have you thought of starting your own label?
We've thought of it. I don't know.
We've thought of a lot.
We've thought of a lot of things.
We're big ideas, guys.
One thing I like about us is we're solution oriented. We're not problem oriented.
The reason I ask that is because some years ago I interviewed Janice Ian, who's a singer songwriter, and she had so much trouble with getting her property back from all of the recordings she did over the years that she eventually just started her own record label, and she said, "Screw all you. I'm doing what I want to do with my stuff." Mm-hmm. And she was really adamant about that. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, that's definitely an option. It requires a lot of resources up front, which is really hard and makes it a little less successful. But I do know a lot of like my friends who like have started record labels in their out of their garage to help their friends create the art that they want to.
Yeah. And even beyond that, you guys aren't afraid to jump into the political fray. Like you played at a fundraiser for Omar Fateh, who's running for mayor, and I'm just curious about what you feel is the role of musicians in politics and vice versa.
I can keep talking. I feel bad. Yeah, I had the opportunity to organize that event, and I was really thankful that my bandmates were down to play it, because I do believe that Fateh is super cool. It's really cool to see this progressive shift happening in the city in it. And as a band who holds a lot of values similar to his, it made sense for us to be able to like to support that. And so I think the role of an artist across all mediums is to like to it's like the front of the revolution. It's like the sound, it's the things that outlive the people,
the inspiration.
As musicians, I think we have a platform and we have an opportunity to speak to a lot of people, and it is actually our responsibility to use that in a way that is
authentic.
Yeah, authentic, and in my opinion is that is powerful, and it feels really easy to be quiet in the name of like making money and capitalism. And so I think it actually takes a lot of bravery to like be loud for what you believe in. And I really feel really thankful to be in a band that is able to do that authentically.
I just want to say you're listening to Fresh Fruit on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfei.org. This is Dixie Treichel with Ellie Zimmerman and the Gully Boys. And donate now. Support queer radio. Support community radio.
Yes, indeed. I'll plug again that we have Gully Boys' new album, self-titled, on vinyl for one lucky donor who is going to donate either online or by phone in the next 17 minutes. By the end of the hour, if you donate to KFA, I will enter you into a raffle for that. So now's your chance. Here's a couple of messages from our supporters.
Programming on KFAI is sponsored by NDC and MITA, administrators of DEED's Minnesota Promise Act. The Minnesota Promise Act provides grants and loans for disadvantaged businesses in specific neighborhoods of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Application details can be found at mnpromiseact.org.
Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting Hiromi's Sonic Wonder Monday, September 29th. On their latest release, Out There, Hiromi's Sonic Wonder takes jazz fusion to a new level by incorporating elements of rock, prog rock, and soul, creating an entirely new musical experience. Each track on Out There is a distinct musical journey, yet the entire album highlights the entire group's cohesive chemistry and balance. More information about Hiromi's Sonic Wonder at The Dakota can be found at dakotacooks.com.
We are here in studio with Gully Boys. They're singing along to their own songs in the studio. We're having a good time. And I'm singing along too. It's a sing-along here in KFAI.
All right, so coming up, you're going to be performing at the Varsity Theater on December 13th. Tell us about that.
We're so excited. I've been calling it our wedding day.
And our birth.
Yeah. Our birth. Everything's leading up to this moment. It's going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited. I think we've got some really cool openers that we're excited about. We have a feature on the album, and it'll be a good opportunity to, I don't know, bring friends on stage and
party.
Yeah, big party, really big party. It's gonna be really fun.
It's also Dick Van Dyke's 100th birthday.
We're gonna invite him. This is an open invite.
Can't die before then. Also, one of the sweet things is we're playing with a band called Fiji 13. I'm just going to quickly move us on from that. and we played their album release show at the Triple Rock in 2017 or 2018, and it was like one of our first shows, and it was one of their last-ish shows. And so they are doing a reunion. They never played a final show. And so they're doing a reunion and farewell set to kick off the night, which will be a beautiful full circle of like our history in Minneapolis music scene and the people who believed in us.
And then who's following them?
And then Zora. Yeah. Zora is a really, I mean, you guys should have Zora on this radio station.
Okay.
She is an incredible hip hop singer, pop star, producer, brilliant mind, who's based in Minneapolis now, and she is incredible.
Yeah.
Clever
one of the
and fun.
Greatest voices of our generation, I would say.
I would say, at least.
At least.
The Rolling Stone has everything that she's released. They've been like, how is this person not more famous? And that's just what we're all asking. So we're really fortunate to have her. You should come see to the show, yes, because you want to see Gully Boys, but mostly because you want to see Zora before you can't afford to see Zora anymore.
Exactly.
Because that's really going to happen.
Mm. Yeah. And on that note, you guys have been not only in the business, but with this specific project for going on 10 years now. And how do you keep things fresh and new after all this time in the same channel?
We have a lot to learn still.
Marriage. Yeah. Go ahead.
How do you keep things spicy?
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm asking.
Love and marriage. We make a lot of, have you heard of the Exquisite
Corpses? I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
You can explain it to our listeners.
Yes. An Exquisite Corpse is when you take a piece of paper and you fold it into thirds. So there are three sections vertically on the piece of paper, right? And so you see one section at a time. Someone draws on, say you get the top section, you're drawing like the head and shoulders, right? And then you pass it to the next person and they can't see what you drew, but they add to it with some little guiding lines. And so at the end, you have what's called an exquisite corpse, little bits and parts from everybody contributing, and it creates a beautiful monstrosity.
A lot of times we have to ask, is there a pelvis?
How many we've made?
We made
60?
Over 60 in the making of the album. It was kind of like get the creative juices flowing.
Yeah, make the morning crack out an exquisite corpse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You thought we were going to come in here and talk about music.
Oh, I wish we could show
you. The hits.
You could do that with musical notes, too.
I actually just came across this YouTube channel that's called the Exquisite Corpse Song.
What?
And it's three different producers who make, like, someone makes the drums, someone makes the guitars, someone makes the bass. They just give a key, and they don't hear it until the final. And I was like, this is awesome.
Our next album.
Cool.
I know.
Go John Cage.
It's awesome.
But I think we're like big music listeners, mm-hmm. and we're constantly inspired by new stuff and old stuff that we find. And I think that's something that's kind of our like friendship is kind of the binding factor of this band. So I don't know. It's not like we came together to make music that sounds like XYZ. It's like we're making music together because we're best friends and we have a lot of fun. And so as our tastes change and as we find new things, our sound has evolved a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it has continued to, and especially in more recent years, like we've figured out it's really fun to play really loud music.
Simple math.
To be feral on stage.
Yeah, to kind of play heavier stuff. And so we've just kind of followed that. Like, we haven't boxed ourselves into any one category. So just being able to, I don't know, we're not promising anything. We're not going to be a certain way. We're going to continue to do what's fun and have that kind of be what leads us.
The goal literally is to have fun. I mean, there were like some songs that we really stuck with and like couldn't finish or be like satisfied with, but like at the end of the day we were like, okay, what's fun about it? How are we going to keep it going and like meld our minds together, meld our souls and our minds together in a way that's going to be like super satisfying, especially when we play it on stage, because I mean we really are a very live band and we have a lot of fun together on stage, and that is one of the big goals of our music, is to just have interaction with our fans and with each other while we're playing loud fun music.
I want to hear the best show you've ever played and the most busted show you've ever played.
Oh my.
Busted for sure has got to be that show in, was it Baltimore? It was in Baltimore. It was before your time, thankfully. We locked our keys in the car.
Oh, I was in such a bad mood.
we played in like a restaurant.
It was like a Thai restaurant.
It was a Thai restaurant with a stage in the back.
And no one was there to listen to our music.
Not even the bands.
Not even the bands that we played with wanted to listen to us play.
That was bad.
There was actually one person, and they came with a CD, and they said, I've been so excited to see you. And I said, thank God for you, because I'm about to write Baltimore off forever.
There's always one.
There's always one. The best show?
We've had a couple residencies over the years at 7th Street Entry, and we did one at Mortimer's before that, but those are like really big highlights in my mind as really, really fun times when we got to like curate the lineups, and everybody seemed to be really excited to be there, and I think local shows are always the best shows. Those,
mm-hmm. I'm gonna contradict you in my opinion. The Daisy and the Scouts show that we played.
Oh, okay, that was fun
in
too.
New York at Elsewhere Zone, or yeah, at Elsewhere. Stands out to me like so loud. Mm-hmm. And that was like the first tour that we went on with you.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of tour, so we all were like, yay!
Yeah.
Energy wise.
That was awesome.
And it was sold out, and it was just awesome.
I was living off that high for a long time.
There was another show recently that we played, and I think it was on the Motion City soundtrack tour. When we got done, I was like, yeah, we ate.
The best is yet to come. Maybe it's going to be that show at the Varsity.
And it probably
will. It's
going
to be.
Definitely.
It's a hometown show where we get to... We'll be tour tight, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And we're getting married.
And we're having a baby.
Yeah.
And
should I have
a
shot wedding? Should we get gay married before we can anymore? Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're
going to
play the full album, right? At the concert? You're playing the full album? Okay.
Maybe not in order, but we will be playing it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine a song that we would exclude from our wedding.
No, it's our album.
We're the
birth.
She's
we're
going
to play
born
the album.
That day.
It's like you're playing your own wedding.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
We should wear wedding dresses and tuxedos. One and half and half.
Ideas, guys.
It's coming out. Oh, wait till you see her Halloween costume.
You never know what's going to happen.
Okay. Kick us off.
Know.
You got to kick. You got to drag us out of here.
Yes, Gully Boys. Thank you so much for joining us here on KFAI. We've had so much fun. We're gonna go around and just give us one word to leave off with.
Oh, say your name,
Kathy. Exciting.
Naughty. Tenacious.
Whoa. Mariah. Awesome.
I was gonna say awesome.
You can also say awesome.
Yeah. Awesome two times.
I'm Natalie, and I also say awesome.
Oh, whoa, mama.
Oh, that's what I should have said.
Two words.
Thank you, Gully Boys.
Thank you.
Got nothing on your typical case.